You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Hungry for adventure? Then travel to A La Carte, the charming land below the floating city of Heavenly Delight, and join the young cook Ramen for her daily dose of wacky hijinks in the new series Delicious. With a cast of eccentric, strong female characters, this wonderfully illustrated comedy comic will be out in July, but you can pre-order now by clicking the banner on the page for this podcast. Get the limited hardcover first edition, plus free stickers and an art print as a gift.
Wow, stickers!
A perfect gift for your child, or those of you who are forever young at heart. One of Us strongly recommends this one.
Okay, so I originally composed this review as a series of tweets, but then Chris told me that doesn't work on a podcast. So apparently, we actually have to talk about this movie, which is a shame because I thought it was going to be a great gag. It's either that or do like TikTok or Instagram, but because I'm old, I don't know how to do that shit, and I don't want to learn because that's what happens when you get old. We're dealing with a whole generation of people who have lived their entire lives online, and for them, tweeting, TikToking, Instagram, that shit's like oxygen to them. And if you were to cut it off, they wouldn't know how to live. It's the world they've always grown up in, they've always lived in. It's the world they know. That's my long-winded way of saying, I'm old, I'm scared of change, and young people freak me the fuck out. But here is a movie that is in fact based on, yes, a series of tweets. I can't believe that we as a culture have gotten to that point. We're no longer adapting the great works of literature or stage. We're adapting fucking tweets. But every once in a while, something interesting comes out of it. This was actually based on a viral tweet thread by one lady by the name of Azia Zola King. I hope I said her name properly. She lays out this incredible, somewhat exaggerated, but maybe probably mostly true story of a horrible weekend she had where she was held against her will, kind of, and somehow got involved in sex trafficking and hooked up with some very crazy, weird people. This is not exactly the kind of thing you would think is funny, but actually they've turned this into something of a comedy, even though underlying it all is just pure absolute horror. To help me break this down and perhaps make me understand it better is Chad.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing all right for a man who's approaching middle age. Actually, I'm doing all right for a man who's well past middle age.
There you go.
Hashtag that, past middle aged. LaWayne joins us also on this review.
And he has never felt so old or so white as he has watching this movie.
Oh, come on. All you got to do is start doing an African-American accent. You could speak with a patois. You just need to get a black scent, LaWayne.
You know, that's actually one of those weird things with a name like mine. The number of people who will make these odd assumptions about what my appearance might be, and then they see me and they're like, oh, you're not what I expected. Well, no kidding.
There's probably some guy who listens to us and goes, wow, LaWayne sounds so white.
Yeah, that's because he is.
But if you ever watched us on video, you would know.
Yeah. Pay the extra just to see it, yeah.
And I'm actually, the whole joke about the black scent really comes down to one of the characters in this movie played by Riley Keough, who is the daughter of Elvis Presley. So obviously, appropriating black culture is something that just runs in the family.
Ooh, swish.
Yeah, but in this case, it is very intentional, and her performance definitely requires her to do that. This is the story of Zola, as I said earlier, loosely based on a real story. It's definitely based on a real tweet thread, so make of that what you will. Zola, in this movie, played by Taylor Page, one night is working as a waitress at a bar. She bumps into Riley Keough. They have a kind of meet-cute almost with, right away, they just kind of become buddy-buddy. Before long, you know, they've exchanged, you know, their contacts, the deets. Is that what the kids call it today, the deets?
I don't know. I never use that terminology because I'm sure it's already outdated.
It probably is. But yeah, they're now suddenly they're friends on Facebook and Instagram and all of that. They've got one another's phone numbers. The next day, she gets a call from Stephanie, the Riley Keough character, who is the character who speaks with the outrageous black accent, speaking to Zola, who is herself black. Zola seems to take this in stride, even though it must have seemed really awkward hearing this kind of black patois coming out of the sound of this very, very skinny, pasty white girl. But nevertheless, Stephanie calls her up and says, hey, you want to make some money? I'm going to go stripping in Tampa. Me and my boyfriend and my roommate, we're going to drive out there for a couple days. We're going to make a ton of money. Zola, who has done stripping in the past, is like, sure, I can make some easy money. That's kind of the last thing that feels kind of normal in this movie, believe it or not. They're like, hey, let's go strip and make money. But things rapidly get out of hand. Her boyfriend is Derek, played by Nicholas Braun, who's kind of a spineless, pathetic, weird little dude who's in love with Riley, and a very mysterious man as her roommate, Coleman Domingo, as X, who in fact is actually her pimp. And wow, things go from bad to worse really fast.
It was amazing how quick this movie turns to complete chaos. And I was reading some of the actual original Twitter thread. I think it was like 148 tweets. And it just so many red flags, but you definitely see how this character gets into a situation where she's smart enough to know, at least in the beginning, to keep her mouth shut until stuff really goes off the rails. And then when she tries to back away, it's almost impossible. Her dealing with the stress of, you know, not only just going all the way to Tampa to not make really any money, but now getting thrown into this escort service thing that she never wants to mess with. But at some point, she kind of sort of, not accepts her fate. She gets into situations, and it seems like she just figures out how to get into or out of that situation, and then just figure out what the next step is. Like, there's no real long game with this, because everything is so crazy.
Yeah, what happens at some point is they do some stripping, they make some money, they're backstage. Stephanie decides to, like, do some, you know, selfies. It looks like the girls are just having fun. It's all rather innocent as you can be, wearing nothing but a G-string and pasties. Next thing you know, this photo of them is featured in a back page's website, and they're offering their services to girls for one night. And before long, a lot of guys come knocking on the door, and X, the pimp, we do later learn his name. At this point, he's simply known as X. He makes it very clear that, no, they are going to stay there, and they're going to make money, and there's going to be trouble if Zola even thinks about leaving. And one of the weirder things about X is that he seems like a guy, just a kind of normal guy, until he gets angry, and then suddenly he switches into an African accent. It's kind of this strange running gag, but it's also kind of terrifying because Coleman Domingo is so compelling in this role.
I loved it. Yeah. I love that little character trait. It was so cool. Because it wasn't only those two characters. Like, at some point, he picks up the phone and he goes into, like, a completely random character we haven't even heard. And I think we only hear it at that one time. So you can obviously tell, not only is he a pimp, but he's a con man. Like, he knows how to duck and evade and keep moving. I mean, that's what this whole movie is. I'm just moving yeah. out of one bad situation into another.
I didn't realize initially watching this that it was based on this tweet thread. Had I not known for sure, I would have said that this felt like an adaptation of something by Elmore Leonard, mm-hmm. because of the sort of characters that it has. And you've got the one smart character who just wants to stay out of trouble and not die. And it mentions somewhere else that it starts in Detroit and ends up in Florida, and that it, in and of itself, is an Elmore Leonard sort of thing. Like, he was like the king of Detroit stories, and then he moved into the Florida stuff. And you've got all these characters that are just, they're just smart enough to do what they're doing, but otherwise they're about dumb as a post. And Zola is pretty much the only exception to this.
Yeah.
Everybody else is devious and scheming, and she eventually gets that way, but it's mostly a matter of survival.
Yeah.
More than anything else. And it was kind of weird because there was a point I'm like, you know, I'm waiting for there to be this transition where, and X even references it because of the way Zola handles circumventing this whole sex traffic thing or the sex worker thing. What, you gunning for my job? And it's like, well, I mean, she's better at it and she's not dangerous. So yeah, I mean, why not? It would be to Stephanie's advantage to switch sides at that point.
Well, we find out that Stephanie is, once we figure out that she is, in fact, a prostitute, Zola makes it very clear, like, look, I'm here because I have to be here. I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to have sex with any of these gross dudes. And then goes, but how much are you making? And she's like, what? You know, you're worth more than that, which is probably the first time anybody's ever told this character.
Yes.
Suddenly they're making way more money. And like Luwain pointed out, X says, are you gunning for my job? He's both kind of impressed and also kind of angry about it at the same time. He's really small time. That's the thing that really stands out. None of these people are criminal masterminds.
No.
None of them are particularly bright. Or even very ambitious. I mean, you're thinking, Jesus, you're going through all of this. You could definitely make more money. But regardless, it's one of those situations where, except for the main character, you really don't like any of these characters. Taylor Page is so great at finding that calm center of this character who's just in the middle of this hurricane that's swirling around her and figuring out, like, how do I get through this? I mean, she has that look on her face that just says, I am over it. I am so done with these people, but I can't think of a good way to extricate myself from the situation, which for me was one of the frustrating aspects of the film, because there's multiple points where I'm like, you know, you could have gotten out of this. There were moments you could break free. She has a boyfriend back home who's checking in on her, seems to be genuinely concerned, who's got a good relationship with her. She obviously at some point has some money. Even X ends up giving her money because, like, hey, great job. Here's some money. Thinking she's smart. She's got a cell phone with her at all times. Couldn't she have called a cab, gone to the bus station, caught a bus back to Detroit?
I'd press that a little bit, saying, like, even before X told her, like, hey, I picked you up. I know where you live. She probably knows that.
Right.
That's true.
I mean, fear can make you do stupid things. And especially if you're in this scenario, if she's fearful for her boyfriend, fiance, like, I could see her having motivation to keep going with this crazy night.
I was so wrapped up in the narrative, I almost forgot that, which is something that he tells her early on. You're absolutely right, Chad. That is something that lingers over the film. Another thing that struck me, there's two images, one that comes near the end of the first act and near the beginning of the third, which kind of act as signposts for me. There's a moment where they've just entered into Tampa. One of the few times when you're not, you know, living life online, we see Zola just staring out the window, seeing a Confederate flag. And even as it recedes in the distance, it looms large within the frame as a reminder of the very real problems and situations you deal with in meat space. Likewise, towards the end of the second act, they're driving through Tampa late at night, and there is a black man who's begging for mercy as he's being beaten and tased as cops, which also makes you think, you know, you're in a sketchy situation, you're technically doing something illegal yourself. Maybe you don't want to call the cops because they might escalate it. And even though she clearly wants to get away from the X character, she probably doesn't want to see him beaten to death by cops either. So there is that. I think those are the twin motivations for why she probably doesn't pull the plug on this sooner, because A, he knows where she lives, and B, not going to be the kind of person who has a lot of faith in the police to help her.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk about, because I was slightly annoyed at first. Like, I actually dug this movie. Like, it's not perfect. I was annoyed with the cinematography of the B-roll and the editing choices at first. Mm-hmm. But once, like, you started getting into the nitty-gritty of the narrative and, like, how messed up everything is, like, I felt like there was some really cool creative choices taken with presenting 148 tweets into an hour-and-a-half movie. Because it was annoying where there was, like, minimal dialogue. And then they would cut to, like, what would seem, you know, a minute and a half of driving footage. but it worked. Like it was a separator between these miniature moments of chaos and fear or adrenaline, like whatever the situation was. Cutting to that travel felt it just felt cathartic. It felt kind of like if you were in that situation, like how you would take those moments and just relax because you know something bad is coming again. Yeah. So yeah, at first I wasn't too fond of how it was looking, and then it got me by the second act. I'm like, all right, I see what they're doing here. I dig it. Let's keep going.
You have to hand it to the filmmakers for finding a visual way of communicating how much we've come to rely on cell phone technology, on the internet. A lot of these things feel like it's shot through an Instagram filter. There's little emojis. There's constant tweet notification sounds, sometimes to punctuate the end of a piece of dialogue. You know, somebody says something clever and suddenly you get a tweet sound. And it's sometimes you're questioning, like, are they commenting on this? Is this highlighting the fact that this is a piece of dialogue that comes from verbatim from the original tweet? Or does Stephanie just have her phone on and is just constantly getting tweet notifications constantly? And it's probably all of those things. I mean, this is very much about how people live their lives online as how they live it in real life and the kind of intersection between those two. Honestly, this is the kind of movie where, you know, if none of these people had an internet connection, they wouldn't have gotten in any trouble.
I like that the veneer of civilization thing, especially online. Like I'll admit, I'm technically a millennial, just mm-hmm. barely. But I kind of like float between old school and, you know, new technology because it came out early in life, but not early enough. But I get the addiction. Like I had to walk away from social media years ago. Just because it just wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth my energy and it wasn't worth the stress. But I definitely see how people just, I mean, not just characters in a movie. I know people that are like this, not, you know, escorts or strippers. I mean, maybe some of them are and I shouldn't judge. But either way, there's just something very powerful about this technology we're wielding, and there's really no clear end in sight, mm-hmm. which is scary. And this movie kind of brings out those fears in me, like, oh man, we're doomed. But I will say, and I don't think this is the first time this has ever been done, but it's always like, I work in films and commercials and stuff, and where you got to put up like a text message on screen. It's like, well, how should we do it? Like, you know, how do we mimic that? But the fact that they like monologued
right
their texts to each other, I thought that was great.
Yeah.
You know, obviously it's based on this tweet. Zola's talking about these things that happened to her. It also became a Rolling Stone article. It went viral. People are like, is this real? What's really going on with this story? And then, of course, people, not her real name, but the real life Stephanie, apparently did like some AMA on Reddit.
On Reddit, yes, yeah, she did.
And they recreate that, yeah. Where we see the story from her perspective. The thing that makes this bearable to me, it reminds me of films like After Hours,
mm-hmm. or yes.
Even Something Wild. You're some relatively mild-mannered person, bumps into this strange, crazy person, and next thing you know, their whole life is turned upside yep. down. What makes those movies work, and I think it's true of this one, is that even though it's technically terrifying, it's also deeply funny.
Yeah.
Despite the violence, despite, you know, the very lurid nature of the subject matter, the sense of humor, the jokes, and the very committed performances, everyone in this movie is just on the edge of overacting, but they never quite go too far. Yeah. They just find that right calibration between this person is a real person with real problems, but they're also a fucking cartoon. Yeah. And I'm really impressed by how they pull it off. On that note, why don't we start rolling into our final thoughts? Chad, kick it off, please.
And I never trust reviews or other people's opinion except my own, with my own eyes, you know what I mean? And just doing like initial research on this, you know, I saw people trashing it already, and I don't know how it's going to end up. I hope this film does really well. Like, I feel like it's a good indie. It's a weird story. Like, I feel like we're going to have more of these in the future, like I mean, we already have movies based off of stupid concepts. We made a movie about Battleship, the board game. So a movie about a woman's 148 tweets going viral doesn't surprise me. It is funny, even though it's really dark. This movie has like as many swear words as The Big Lebowski, if not more. And you would expect a movie with strippers and escorts to have nudity in it, which it does, but all you see are dicks, yeah. Which I yep. thought was great. I thought that was amazing. And again, I think that's been done before, but like to have such an obvious target to be like, well, obviously we're in a strip club, so we're going to need to see boobs. Or obviously she's an escort, so we're going to need to see like all that. Like we get a scene where we see at least five dudes junk in a montage. And I was rolling. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
It felt real and honest. And if this movie does get any heat, I'll disagree with it. I think this is a very good, solid film. It's weird. Be prepared. But it's definitely worth your time. That being said, I'll give this movie 7.2 stripper poles out of 10.
Okay. Louay?
I am Gen X, which means I'll adapt to technology, but I will bitch about it the entire time. And so when I first saw the thing about, because I signed up for this not knowing anything about the tweet thing, and it wouldn't have stopped me, but I would have been like, okay. But here's the thing. You have to get past that because this is a really smart movie. It's a smart movie about really stupid people for the most part. It's a really smartly made movie. It's enjoyable to watch. And frankly, I cannot wait to see what the director, I'm going to say Janisha Bravo, does after this, because this was absolutely worth the time that I spent to watch it. Taylor Page is great in it. Riley Keough is great, even if her character is a lunatic. It's a really well done film. It feels indie, but like in the best way. Like it doesn't feel slick and cool. It feels kind of gross and it feels kind of mean, and it's some of it's super dark and some of it's just absurd. I mean, and this is a weird thing for me, I laughed at a suicide attempt in this movie. Okay. There's so much about this that you're just either going to be all in or you're not. And there's going to be a lot of things people are going to have hangups on, and they're just going to have to deal with it. And if that's what keeps you from enjoying this movie, sorry, whether it's the tweets, whether it's the fact that you have sex workers in sort of a positive light, if it's that the main characters are mostly scumbags, whatever, the movie's worth your time. It's 3.75 out of 5 stripper prayer circles.
How did we not talk about that moment?
Dude, just let people experience that.
What's up with you guys doing decibels? We doing fractions next?
No, fractions are a mess, man. Decimals, it's that sort of metric thing. Like, you get into fractions, that's that weird imperial crap, and we don't do that. It never works.
Well, to echo what you guys said, none of these characters are particularly likable or particularly smart, barring the character of Zola, who's got her head on her shoulders and is smart enough to figure out how to wade through these dangerous waters she's found herself in. My only real big problem with this movie is that it does kind of end abruptly. And so for all of the intelligence, for all of the strategizing, for all of the ways that she has to deal with this situation, we don't ever really see the outcome, because you're rooting for Zola. You want her to get away from these people. You want her to get out of this situation. And God damn it, I do not want to go and read 148 fucking tweets to find out how this story ends. That being said, this is a really good ride. I think it's really doing some interesting things in terms of its formal qualities, the way it mimics the way people use technology, the way they use the internet, the way they communicate that, the way they create their personas online and the personas they have in real space. My problem is a lot of these folks sometimes strike me as like, yeah, that's the persona, that's the person you play on the internet. What happens when I find out that, no, you really are this vapid? You really are this dumb. I'm going to tell you, I have been in places in my life, bars, clubs, diners at 3 a.m. with a loud table of obnoxious people next door to me who remind me of these people. It's like, you guys are into some shady shit. You won't shut the fuck up. You're constantly staring at your phones. You don't speak in anything that resembles a language to me other than you just seem to be doing leet speak or slang. And everything you say seems like it's constructed to fit within a 144 character tweet. I usually at that point just find a table somewhere else in the room. But that's the great thing about movies. You can experience these kinds of people and these kinds of terrible situations without ever actually having to get involved yourself. I think, like LaWayne said, this is worth checking out. As Chad mentioned, you know, you're probably not going to like a lot of these people or these situations, but if you work past that, you might find that this film is actually very smart. It's very well constructed. I think it's got a lot of heart, even though it also is holding some of these people away at arm's length. Definitely worth checking out. I think it's going to be one of those films that is divisive, but if you give it a chance, I think you're going to find some really good things in it. Looking forward to seeing what the rest of this cast does, as well as the director and screenwriter, who I think did a fantastic job taking what shouldn't be a coherent narrative and turning it into a brisk 90-minute long descent into hell on two of the worst days of anyone's life. I'm going to have to give this 8 out of 10 tweet chirps that just won't fucking stop. I hate that. When people are like, you know your phone's beep. It's making that noise. It's making the noise. Why don't you respond? Do you know it's making that noise? God damn it. Why are you making all of this noise? This is a library, sir.
They're like, I can't even do it. I can't even match that pitch.
No, that was close enough. I can't do it. The chirp, the tweet. I feel like, oh, Jesus. I feel like one of those old guys like, you're on the tweeter, right? Is that it? The tweeter thing?
The tweeter.
I know when I die, that'll probably be the last sound I hear.
Your final notification.